Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Let's go, baby. Showtime, Wednesday night, just past 9 p.m. It's time for the sports chatter. You are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on Gorilla Cross Radio. I am a piece of the show here. I am Jose V, the other half. EMB sitting directly in front of me. Quan 5'9", roaming around the studio right now, making sure we got the cameras all set up. But he's normally behind the big board, doing what he does for us every single Wednesday night. If it wasn't for him, we couldn't go live and show you all this beautiful stuff you're seeing on screen right now. But we greatly appreciate him. There's Ian B on the screen now.
What up?
I'm going to ask you, right, Ian, like we do every single week, man. Just, Quan, thank you, bro. Sorry,
good music.
I asked for some West Coast music before we started the show when we got in here. Quan came through as always. I appreciate it. But guys, do me a favor. Press that like, press that share, drop a comment. We'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is you are enjoying tonight. Tonight, we have a bit of a mixture of a show, right? We're getting caught up with some NBA trade talks. Now, we got a Philly fan in the studio, and we're going to have a Philly fan on the show joining us from Philadelphia, right? Which is kind of crazy here, but it's good to have that conversation, that banter between both of you, because I want to know what you guys' thoughts are. So that's one of the topics we got for tonight. And of course, if you guys saw the Facebook, YouTube, Twitter page, Instagram page, everything that we post out there, you already know what the rest of the topics are going to be tonight. We're going to be recapping the NFL Super Bowl that we just had this past Sunday. Good Super Bowl, not going to say great, but fun to watch. It was really entertaining. It wasn't boring whatsoever, which I like. We're going to get into your thoughts, my thoughts, and our guest thoughts as well. And MVP, right? A lot of people. Buddy. You and I were going back and forth on Twitter.
We were.
And we were going texting each other personally, but we're also going to talk about that. I'm watching the UNLV Running Rebels right now on the road at Fresno State. If you follow me on Twitter, they were one of my picks today. I'm 1-1 so far. Hopefully, the Rebels come through at +6. They're up by 5 right now with 10 minutes to go on the road. One of the biggest things I said, Royce Ham Jr. needs to step up tonight and be huge for the Rebels. At halftime, he was their leading scorer. It wasn't Bryce Hamilton. So that's a good look there. Hopefully, the Rebels can hold it off and get the W here. But again, we are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, in the one, the only, the amazing studio, Gorilla Cross Radio here. Once again, download the app on your Play Store. Go to Android, go to Apple, Gorilla Cross, download the app, enjoy all the content on here. If not, just go to the pages. We're live on all three of them right now, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Share, let everyone know what you're enjoying. But follow the content moving on from there. 702-608-3259. Is the number to call, as always, if you want to join in on the conversation tonight. But let's go ahead and jump right into it with our guest. He's going to be joining us for the entire hour. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of things to break into here tonight. But he's a return guest. He's a good friend of mine. The guy's a capper. And what I mean by that, this guy bets for a living. He gives you picks. He knows what the hell he's doing. I'm just blessed to know the guy. He is Sosa the Locksmith, a good friend of ours, joining us all the way from Philadelphia, my guy. I appreciate the hat, Brody. I see you wearing, you know, the LA hat. I know you're a Dodger fan, so that's cool. But how's it going, my guy? Everything good out there
Sosa's
in Philly?
All over the place.
All over the place.
I'm a diehard Dodger fan. But, yeah, man, all is well, you know. It's actually not as cold as it was over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, entering that all-star break, excited. You know, don't got to hear about football for a couple of months. Draft won't be around for a bit. So, you know, just enjoying the next couple weeks till sports actually, you know, kick back up. Might not have a baseball season, so basketball it is. That's all we're on today.
So if you guys don't know, Sosa is a Niner fan, just like Quan. So that's why I understand for him saying, you know, football season. For him, as soon as the Niners lost in that division in the championship game, the season was over, right? Yeah. Sosa, I mean, it was no point for you to watch anymore at that point.
Yeah, because I can't objectively give you an opinion on the Rams. Like, I'm not a fan. I hate them. You know, when you hate a team, you're not gonna, you know, you don't. I don't have anything good to say about them. I'm not gonna bet my money on them. So you're not getting anything too objective. I'm just watching the game, hoping they lose. That's it.
Yeah. So we got a lot of things we want to talk about with you today. Obviously, bro, the trade that went down with the 76ers, we're going to get into that. Obviously, NFL Super Bowl MVP, a lot of conversation going back and forth on whether someone else should have won it or was it legitimately rightful that Cup won it. Obviously, we have the Hall of Fame conversation. You and I were on a space earlier, and this was a huge topic of conversation. But I also want to talk Lakers with you as well because I know you have some thoughts. But let's jump into the first topic tonight, my guy. Obviously, the 76ers and the New Jersey, or Brooklyn Nets, excuse me. The Brooklyn Nets pulled off a trade here. Yeah. We had the two big names, obviously. We had James Harden.
Probably the biggest splash trade in the NBA this week.
But we did have James Harden, Ben Simmons, obviously being the ones that were traded, right? Big names here. Obviously, Ben Simmons hasn't played a freaking game this season. Sosa, you've been very vocal about it. But now you guys got James Harden, right?
Yep.
You guys got James Harden, a guy that you and I have had this conversation on Spaces. We know what he can do on the court. We know what he is talent-wise. We know that what he can give you. And then now you got a guy like Joel Embiid that's going to have a guy like James Harden. That pick and roll is starting to look very, very nice, even though it hasn't started yet. But I want to let you both go back and forth on this because you're both Philly fans. I need to get both of your thoughts. How do you feel about the trade overall, Sosa? We'll start with you. Obviously, this is a bit late already. We're about a week away from the trade, from when it happened. But it's still a hot topic of conversation because both players haven't played yet.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So it's still wondering what's going to happen. How's it going to be
at this point?
Now, I'll give you real quick. I think it was a good trade for both teams. I think that the 76ers are in win now mode and James Harden gives them that because Joel Embiid only has a certain amount of window because of the injuries and how hard that he plays. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, the Nets got a guy in Ben Simmons, younger. We know damn well he can't shoot. Excuse me, Quan, I won't say that again. We know he can't shoot, right? We know he cannot shoot. He's going into a team where they're not going to ask him to shoot the ball. They're going to ask him to do what he can do best, facilitate, be a guy with the ball in his hand and play defense, right? So at the end of the day, I think it's a good trade for both teams. Right now, it's better for Philly. I think in the long run, it'll work out for New Jersey. Sosa, take it off, my guy. Are you muted?
My bad. I was muted. My fault.
It's all good, bro.
I'm like programmed like when someone else is talking to mute it. I'm very happy with the trade. I'm ecstatic, actually, simply because we didn't have to give up Maxi. We didn't have to give up Thybul. Losing one, you know, elite defender hurts. Losing Seth Curry, based on the numbers that he put up in a playoff series last year, it is a big deal to a lot of people. But people quickly forget that he was getting barbecued on defense and couldn't guard a shadow whatsoever and was the number one reason why we actually lost the game. So, Game 7 in particular, where he gave up, I believe, 26 points on 84% shooting. Oh, yeah, 26 on 84% shooting when guarding the guy that was the primary ball handler. So those offensive numbers sound good. I mean, it also, your offensive numbers are going to look really good when your point guard doesn't shoot. Like, if your point guard's not shooting, you're obviously going to be putting up, you know, a high number of shots, right? I mean, J.J. Redick was taking a career high number of shots. You think that was by accident? No, it's because the point guard won't shoot the ball. So he's got to shoot it 5 more times than he ever did any other team that he played on in the NBA. Right?
So yeah, so
getting James Harden for us is huge because Joel Embiid's never had an offensive playmaker this good. And I mean that in the sense that someone who can make plays for other people as well as score the ball, he's never had someone this good. Obviously, it becomes a situation where people think that James Harden's ball dominant, but he's also a great passer. And he's also won games and won a lot of games with ancillary players that weren't that good. I mean, this guy had Ben McLemore, who was out of the league, Ryan Anderson, who can't guard anybody on this show tonight. I mean, just think about it. You know what I mean? It's clear as day. Like, he's had, you know, average ancillary guys, and he's gotten the best out of them. I mean, when you have a guy as talented as Joel and a guy as talented as James Harden, what you need alongside drastically lowers there's a huge margin for error in a game, especially with both of them having the ability to get fouled 10 to plus times a game and their ability to get their shot whenever they want. And just like you said, Jose, both teams did win. I think everybody is always quick to want to put things in a vacuum and pick a loser. Like, this team made out with this. Well, I mean, Seth Curry's not going to get re-signed by Brooklyn next year, and neither is Andre Drummond. So this trade was for a guy that didn't even play a single game and two players who weren't going to be on the Sixers next year. That's a win for the Sixers. And then the Brooklyn Nets get an all-star under the age of 25. Both teams win. No one has to lose in this situation. So that's pretty much all I have. I think they both teams win. Ben Simmons, while he's not my favorite person anymore, is a hell of a basketball player.
Not my favorite person.
He still, you know, brings a lot to a team, whether or not he shoots the ball.
See, so. I agree with you. I think Ben Simmons does bring a lot to the team. I just don't know how much he's going to bring to the Nets. And the problem is that you have Kyrie and Durant, who are ball-dominant players, and then you have Ben Simmons, who, when asked to play in a different role, he doesn't typically like to do that. He wants the ball in his hands, but he's afraid to shoot. So I'm not sure how that dynamic's actually going to work once he's in the lineup there. I think the Sixers, lineup-wise, I think they upgraded across the board, because you were having it where, you know, you had Seth taking minutes from other players, and you had Drummond, who would back up Embiid, but there's a good big man buyout market. I think we can easily get someone like Tristan Thomas, Robin Lopez. I think one of those guys is going to be readily available.
He just signed with the Bulls.
He did.
Yeah, Tristan signed with the Bulls today.
Oh, man. That was my favorite.
As soon as he clears, he's going to sign with the Bulls.
Dang. That was my favorite guy, actually. But I think there's a lot of people on the buyout market that we can get that they're not going to be as effective as Drummond was, but they're going to make up for his absence in a sense.
It's crazy how the Lakers made no moves, bro. And they're basically going to be probably, they're joking about it, but they're saying they're going to be the front runners for the buyout market, right? Man. Like, this is literally what it's come to. Like, you got teams like Brooklyn, you got teams like Philly making moves to actually try to solidify something and do something towards the stretch run to try to win a chip, bro. And the Lakers have all this talent. Obviously, it's not working, but they try to do nothing. And I get it. They're stuck with a lot of contracts, bro, right? And I totally understand that. You got to look at the ins and outs. But at the end of the day, they kind of made their bed when they signed all these contracts, right? I mean, I'm a Laker fan. It hurts me. It sucks to see them be so bad, bro, when they should be so good. Like today, I was on a space earlier. Everybody's telling me, take the Lakers. They're in a good position. They've been off for 4 days. They're coming back playing one day and then going into the All-Star break. They're going to be fresh. No, bro. If you're gonna, this coming from a Laker fan. If you're going to bet the Lakers this season, just cash at me, bro. Give me your money. There's no point for you to bet the Lakers at all.
The Lakers have 2 wins against winning teams since November 10th.
It's terrible.
2 wins against teams with a winning record since November 10th. If you know the game of basketball, the team is poorly constructed. They have players that play a style of basketball where they're both, where multiple of them are ball dominant and need the ball in their hands at all times to be effective. Anthony Davis forgot how to shoot after leaving the YMCA in Orlando.
don't tell Quan about Anthony Davis, bro. Oh my God.
He's been shooting like 17% from 3 since the bubble. So, and unless he develops some level of aggression or remembers how to be a dominant player like he was his first 4 years in the NBA, the Lakers are headed for purgatory. Because the only thing they have to sell to their fans now is LeBron passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's it. It's basically like when the Giants had Barry Bonds. And all only reason people were showing up for tickets was for him to break a home run record.
Yeah.
Real quick, I actually want to hop back onto the Philly narrative right now. Have you seen this narrative, Sosa, that Philly fans are the reason for Ben Simmons' mental health and his shooting woes and the reason he wanted to get out of Philly and all that's wrong with Ben Simmons that apparently Philly fans have created?
The fans know it all.
Yeah.
As a Philly fan, I'm upset because I would have wanted him to work harder and play harder and work for his position in the organization as a superstar. Right? I think that with the mental health thing, that one, people, we as human beings are programmed to believe that when someone's having a financial dispute, that they're bringing this up, especially as a cop out or a way to that to make sure that they can retain their money, right? But he wasn't able to retain any of the money, and I think that people fail to realize that he's 24 years old, kid, grew up pretty privileged, and he doesn't really fit the cachet of like this tough guy, yeah. Right? I think something that people don't know is that a couple of months before the playoffs started, Ben Simmons' sister accused his brother of molesting her. I don't know if you guys saw this.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She tweeted about it, and it's very important for people to be cognizant of this being a real life thing. Yes, he is a basketball player, and yes, he did not perform well on the court. But outside of basketball, these are human beings who deal with the things just like us. And there's a lot more to life than just putting a ball in a hoop.
Yeah.
So as easy as it is for me to say, yo, he's a punk, we this, he's that, I urge people to still recognize that there's a bigger picture here outside of the game of basketball. So for us to make any assessment on someone's mental health is irresponsible and lazy on our part.
But
the basketball part, we know what we saw. We know how we feel. We know what we believe. And if that's the case, it is the case. But as far as people saying he made it up, I'm not going to go that far to say that. It's not my place. It's not anyone's place to do that.
No,
because once someone brings up mental health, it's a conversation that you can't be biased. Your fandom, your analytics, how you analyze sports, all of that goes out the window, because that's why it's something that's so important. So. I know as a fan, I would have loved for him to step up to the plate and be that guy. But again, the mental is very important. The mental part of it is very important. People said that Chauncey Billups couldn't play basketball when he was in Boston, when in reality, he was just having a mental block. Turns out he wasn't bad at basketball. He just wasn't right mentally. Needed to be in the right place, be around the right people in order for his talent to really blossom. I think that's the case. Whether we like the way he went about getting out of the situation that he did not like, that's our personal beef, right? Yeah. As a fan. Other than that, I got to just respect the fact that his mental wasn't right. He had some personal stuff going on. And outside of basketball, I hope he's good. If change of scenery and getting away from where he was is what he needed.
I think the bigger issue, though, is that the media is not taking any accountability for also what they played in. Part of it.
Yeah,
I mean,
100%.
You had the media plays a big part. The ESPY show where they literally said that Ben Simmons was doing humanitarian work by building houses with the bricks he was throwing in the playoffs. I mean, and they had two girls and they're like, say thank you, Ben Simmons, and they did. So,
let me kind of add to that. With Ben Simmons, I agree with you, Sosa. His mental health, you can tell there was something wrong, yeah. Right? Because he wasn't out living a life like some people do when they claim.
Yeah.
Now, I want to throw something out there, and I'm glad you brought this up because we're talking about this earlier. There's a lot of athletes and just famous people in general that keep using that mental health card, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of AKA fans like us of the game that come at these superstars because of that. So if you're someone that comes at someone like Ben Simmons, do your research. Like Sosa just said, I had no idea the guy was going through that, but I haven't said anything about him putting the mental health card because he's been quiet about everything. Yeah. He hasn't been out and about. You got other athletes, a la, and I'll say it because I really don't like her, Liz Cambage, that uses the mental health card when things go wrong and don't go her way. And then you have athletes as well that, oh, well, I'm stressing, my mental health isn't right, but then they're coming out in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition or making, you know, half-naked pictures on Instagram. But I thought your mental health was wrong. You see what I'm saying?
It also becomes a self-preservation thing,
yes.
Right? Because what happens with in the NFL, we had Calvin Ridley,
yeah.
You know, but if you know what he did, he did that because he didn't want to play games for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
He was observing one Allen Robinson in Chicago, and he saw that he was on a franchise tag, and he did not get extended, and Calvin Ridley's in a contract year playing for a team that had no reason to win, So he that's what his agent was. His agent said, if we file the mental health grievance, you'll get all your money and you won't have to play. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a slippery slope. It's not something we can question, because at the end of the day, we don't know what's going on in anyone's head.
Yeah, true. Definitely. We're not behind closed doors with them. We don't know what they're going through. Now, I got to switch it up with you a little bit, because I want to go back to the whole NBA aspect of it and kind of jump into some gambling part of it, because obviously with trades, your gambling, you know, your strategy has to change. I don't know if you bet on or off your team, but when there's trades like this, bro, does it change the way that you strategize with when you're trying to pick a side, or maybe a guy doing a you know, rebounds or total or this and that, or prop bets? Like, does it switch up your gambling aspect when trades happen like this?
Absolutely. I think what you do is if you're betting on a team, when they try to install like a player like a James Harden or like a Ben Simmons, there's a period where you have to like not bet them, because everything readjusts. You don't know where over unders are going to be. You don't know how dominating he'll be of the ball. You don't know how dominating Embiid will. You don't know how many shots Harden takes from Embiid, because Embiid's playing. His usage rate's high, and he's putting up the extremely high number of shots. I personally, with James Harden, he's plug and play, though. He's such a dynamic player and can make so many people better around him that it doesn't really matter with him. Same with Ben Simmons. I think it's a seamless situation, because all they're doing is asking him to basically play his game. Run the floor on offense, handle the ball in transition, play defense, and rebound. We don't need you to take any shots. Kyrie want to take 30 of those, and Kevin Durant's so efficient that he can get you 30 without shooting 20 shots. Yeah. So if he's in a perfect situation, and then also spacing won't be a problem. There is no 7-footer that's catching the ball 5 feet away from the basket in Brooklyn. So he'll have big men that run to the basket looking for lobs, and he'll never get double teamed off the dribble, ever. So like I said, it should work out for both guys. It's just, you have to give it a little bit of time for that learning curve and that cohesion to build. But also, when you have two players that talented, it's absolutely disrespectful to bring up the Diesel and Kobe, because I've heard people say stupid stuff like that on TV, and I'm offended by it. Not that Embiid's not amazing, but because I think he's the best big man I've ever seen outside of Shaq and Hakeem.
Wow. Okay.
Ever in my lifetime, those are the three, and I love Jokic, but I don't care about those assists. I don't care. Those assists don't move me, you know. And so you get a guy that can go for 30 every night, that can't be guarded off the dribble, that knows how to draw fouls. You're looking at a guy who you're looking at a tandem that can keep you in every game. They literally could be responsible for 90 points combined every night. And I mean that from points and assists.
Yeah.
Because when they're kicking out and they're getting 14 assists between the two of them, and, you know, 10 of them are threes, I mean, they're both going to get 30. So that's 90 points. They're just so good. It's just, you don't need your margin of error. Your margin for error becomes so much larger when you have two guys that can literally cannot be guarded offensively. That's why I keep telling you guys, just enjoy the show. It's going to be beautiful.
Not to mention, I think one of the things I'm actually most excited about is Maxey's development with Harden in the locker room, because I really do think that he's going to benefit off of having a guy like that to kind of learn off of, as well as help him drive him. You know, and I think it's going to, like you said, I think it's going to be a beautiful thing, especially with the three of them on the court. I think it's going to be awesome.
It just scares me. The only thing that scares me is the immediate.
Yeah.
Maxey's been so good with the ball in his hands. He is going to be asked to play off ball, because you're not going to have James Harden playing off ball with Maxey.
No.
Right? Yeah. So the biggest stat that we're going to be looking for over the first like 10 games with James Harden is who can catch and shoot. That is the number one metric we're going to be looking for, because that's going to decide who's on the floor at the end of games.
Yeah.
That I'm telling you right now, who can catch and shoot when Embiid passes in the ball, when James Harden passes in the ball, because those guys are going to have the ball 17 to 19 seconds of every shot clock.
Yeah.
So you better be able to catch the ball and let it fly, keep somebody out the paint, because that's all that's going to matter with those two guys. That's it. Look at the guys that won championships with Shaq and Kobe. They weren't that great, but if they were open, they were hitting the shot. That's it. None of them made the Hall of Fame. Shaq and Kobe did.
Yeah.
But nobody else is going to make it.
Sosa, the locksmith, joining us live here on Gorilla Cross Radio, Straight Bet Sports. Jose V, EMB, chopping it up in the studio. Quan 5'9 behind the big board. UNLV running Rebels up 57-54 with a minute 13 on the road at Fresno State. If you heard me earlier on Spaces, with actually our guy Spin Doc, Rex, and Steven. We were on there chopping it up, giving you our plays today. UNLV plus 6 was one of my plays. They're up 3 with a minute to go. Not only that, the Lakers on a little run here, 96-94 with a minute 48 to go. LeBron records his 23rd consecutive game with 25 or more points, tying Joel Embiid for the longest such streak this season. He also ties Elgin Baylor for the longest single-season streak of 25 points or more by a Laker. Lakers on a 14-2 run. Let's see if they can pull it out and get that W. But Sosa, let's jump into some of the Super Bowl here, my guy. I know you watched the game. Even though your team wasn't in it, my guy, I get it. You know what I mean? It wasn't the game you wanted to watch. I totally understand. A good friend of mine is also a Niner fan, and he was watching it, but just for the prop bets. Didn't even care about what was going on in the field, if I'm being honest with you. But Super Bowl MVP, right? Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp won the Super Bowl MVP award. Now, yep. Is it fair to wonder whether the Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald deserves it more? Some people that I spoke to said, yes, Aaron Donald should have got it because of the second half that he got. And because of him, that play ended the Super Bowl and got them that victory. And then there's people that say, hey, Kupp stepped up. They were able to stop Jamar Chase. Why weren't they able to stop Kupp? I think it could have gone either way. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Ian knows I was texting him back and forth. I was rooting for Aaron Donald. I thought Aaron Donald should have got it, but that's just me. I'm being biased. I had a buddy that had a ticket at plus 1,500 on Aaron Donald to win the MVP. But I think it's fair. Yeah. It could have gone either way. I love Aaron Donald. I think if he were to retire now, it would be amazing. It's not going to happen. Obviously, he's got a lot left to go.
No,
but there's just that chatter that's out there. But I'll let Sosa go first as he's our guest, and you can chime in after. What are your thoughts on the Super
Bowl? Number one reason.
Go for it.
Number one reason why AD should have got it. He's one of, like, four players left on the Rams team that was in St. Louis.
Oh, that's true.
The Los Angeles Rams did not draft Aaron Donald. The St. Louis Rams did.
Facts. Very true. Yes.
That's the reason why AD should have gotten the MVP. I understand why Cooper Kupp got MVP. He got in the end zone twice, and he was all they had at the end of the game as a weapon. I mean, you knew where the ball was going, and there's nothing you could do to stop it. That's my biggest takeaway from this Super Bowl is not even anything that has to do with this game. My biggest takeaway from this game is how terrible the Detroit Lions are. Like, this guy was in the building for 12 years.
Yeah.
This guy was in the building for 12 years, and you could have won a playoff game with this guy.
Yeah.
That's, you know how bad you had, like, you, that really let me know how bad, like it's like, whoa. That organization is in the dump. They really stink.
It goes to show that they just, for 12 straight years, they did not want to build around this guy. They had Calvin Johnson. They had the receivers, but they never built him an O-line. They never built him a defense. And it shows he never had a legitimate running back outside of Reggie Bush a couple of years. Like, it's because easily Stafford could have also won this. How do you pronounce that guy's name that has bricks for hands that has dropped like three passes?
Skoranek.
Okay. Skoranek. He needs to be off the Rams. Because, I mean, every week he makes the play in a negative fashion for the other team. So he needs to be gone. But if he catches that, right, that's not an interception.
Okay.
And he had an almost perfect first half outside of that interception, right? And he had the game-winning fourth quarter. And like you said, not only did you know that it was going to Kupp, but if you saw the end zone angle that Matthew Stafford threw to Kupp on that 22-yard slant, you can say all you want, Aaron Donald getting to Burrow on that last play was the play of the game. I felt that and the fourth and I think it is two or fourth and three on the runaround with Cup were the plays of the game. Because
Cup had to get the MVP, bro.
Yeah,
he got in the end zone twice.
He got in the end zone, and like touchdown. I said, he had that very crucial fourth and I think it was fourth and two where that was a gutsy call by McVay because if that gap closed just a little bit more, Cup is getting stopped there and the Bengals get the ball with the lead.
And let me throw this scenario out there for you guys. Imagine if the Cincinnati Bengals had an offensive line.
Oh, they would have won. I'm just saying. They would have won.
Now, again, for the people that are saying, because I've seen this already on Twitter, and it's complete, it's moronic to say this. People already coming out, see, they should have drafted Penei Sewell. See, imagine if they had an offensive line in the Super Bowl. How about this? They don't draft Jamar Chase. They're not in the Super Bowl.
They're not.
So, like, coach, stop
coach
that.
But neither offensive play caller did their quarterback
a service.
Yeah.
Service whatsoever. They did not help their quarterbacks.
No.
Sean McVay, and this is something that I'm not understanding how he's so great at closing out games because he's terrible at adjusting.
Yeah.
He just keeps wanting to do the same thing over and over and over, no matter who's in the lineup, and he has to he won't adjust it in game. OBJ goes out, he's cooking everybody. Okay. He's not in the game anymore. So you're gonna have to pivot. You're gonna have to change what you do just a little bit. And he wouldn't even try it. And then he waited and waited and waited. And we all know that the coaches have the emergency drive at the end.
Yeah.
Yes, always.
We all know they have the emergency drive, right? Where it's like, this is the script that we want. And the reason why the Rams had it is because Cincinnati had the ball for a second half.
Yeah.
So those set of plays is the scripted drive where they're like, we need it. We got to get it. And these are the plays we're going to call because these are the ones we practiced all week that the defense couldn't figure out.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. They executed one drive in the second half and that was the game.
And then check this out. Joseph Michaels chimes in on Facebook and he makes a good point. He goes, not like Sewell dominated in year one for Detroit. Anyways, people are insane. And it's funny. The quarterback that was in Detroit was in the Super Bowl. The team that they said Sewell should have been in was in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how all that stuff just works out, man. But I Super Bowl, man, offensively, the both teams did not look good. I mean, the Rams, we talked about earlier, before the show, the Rams averaged, 1.9 or 1.2 yards? One of the worst ever, the worst ever. Just trash,
1.9 to carry.
Trash.
And then what is Zach Taylor doing? Running it on third and one? What is he calling, bro?
At least he took responsibility. Like, he took accountability not only for that run, but also the fact that he didn't hand it off to Joe Mixon and he handed it off to Perrine. Like, so he did say that was on him. He probably, like, if he went back, he probably would have done it differently. But I agree with you that Zach Taylor didn't make the adjustments, which is weird because Zach Taylor, all these playoffs, has been actually really good at making little adjustments to counteract what they have. I mean, the defensive coordinator, Anarumo, has been way better at defense adjustments, but
the defense in Cincinnati is loaded.
Yeah, yes, it is. They spent a ton of free agent money.
Nope. Nobody wants to admit it.
Just get rid of Apple.
They run the self-sustaining model. Yeah. It's the family business. Yep. They're small market. Yep. And they tell that lie like they don't have the money. They spent $195 million in one offseason.
Yeah.
They spent $113 million on two players, on just two guys. And both were absolutely lights out for them, too. I'm not, don't get it twisted. They were great. The whole defense was solid. Von Bell was great. Jesse Bates, pay him whatever he wants. Eli Apple had a great year. The Logan Wilson's going to be good. Apple, Hendrickson's a beast. The defense is loaded.
Eli Apple, man.
Once again, you're tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We're coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. We're joined by Sosa the Locksmith of Daily Bread Media, Wise Guys Diamond Club. I mean, this guy's got all kinds of stuff going on, but the Wise Guys Diamond Club is the biggest one of them all, in my opinion. If you guys have not checked them out, check them out on Twitter. The most hottest fire Discord out there, period. Trust me. I talk about it all the time on Twitter. I repost it. I'm in there. I'm watching. I'm following. Come on. If you are a better and you're trying to get in this game, these guys have it all. And what I mean by that, everything, soccer, baseball, I'm talking about prop bets, tennis. I mean, bruh, the conversations are endless on this Discord. So if you have not checked them out, go on Twitter, the Wise Guys Diamond Club. If Sosa hits you up, let them know Jose V and EMB sent you. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. But before we finish and continue with the second half of the show, I forgot, we got sponsors, man. We got to let people know who our sponsors are. So we'll start off with the first one. Obviously, you already know who it is. He is Josh LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate.
We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask, to help ensure making their homeownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533.
That's right, Joshua LaFon, Simply Vegas Real Estate, baby. Keeping us here live on Gorilla Cross Radio. And of course, our second sponsor, the homie, the one and only Eric Navarro of Line Him Up by Eric, my personal barber, 702-884-8138. Hit him up right there on IG as well. Line Him Up by Eric. Download the Booksy app today and book your appointment. Trust me, the guy knows what he's doing. He can hook you up on your beard, your lineup, taper fade, whatever you need. Comb overs, he got you. Hit him up. Eric Navarro, 702-884-8138. Line Him Up by Eric on IG. Let him know Jose V, Straight Bet Sports sent you. He will definitely take care of you. But Sosa, let's move on to the next topic, man. We're going to stick to the NFL. We're going to stick to the Super Bowl. What happened? Are you talking about Austin Reeves? You got that look in your face right now? Is it Austin Reeves? Is that what it is?
Bro,
Is it Austin Reeves?
Monty Morris just hit a buzzer beater to beat the Warriors.
Oh, wait. You're watching another game. Oh, okay.
Bro, he just hit a buzzer beater to win the game.
I just look at your eyes and I'm like, what's going on? You good? Hey, it's a sports talk show, bro. I'm watching the Rebel game right now as we're talking. We got the Laker game on, bro. You got nothing to worry about. Trust me. But this is a topic of great conversation, obviously, right? The quarterback that won the Super Bowl, Mr. Matthew Stafford, right? The Hall of Fame conversation has been coming out. Now, some people are critical of it. We got former players coming up, obviously. We had Richard Sherman, which is always critical, right? And as you see here, the Hall of Fame bar is incredibly low now. Sherman tweeted, like a participation trophy, no all-decade team, no all-pro, no MVP, one Pro Bowl, not even an MVP in the Super Bowl, never considered the best in any year that he played at. At least Matt Ryan has an MVP. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame. He is not a first ballot. He is not automatically, in my opinion, in the Hall of Fame. Should he make it eventually and get voted in? Yes. Look at his stats, bro. If we're being honest, you got to give the kid some
how
respect.
How much do you have to drink tonight, bro?
I've only had one so far. But the guy is the fastest to 20,000, fastest to 30,000, fastest to 40,000. He's had Megatron. He's had Cooper Kupp. Whether you want to give him respect or not, would Megatron have had that career and been a Hall of Famer? If Megatron is a Hall of Famer, who got him there? Who got Megatron into the Hall of Fame? Who threw him the ball for 9 years is all I'm saying. I'm not a Matthew Stafford fan. I know Kukwan's got his head down over here and everything. I'm just saying, bro, let's be real, right? It's become a popularity contest is what I'm trying to get to. The way they're allowing the media to control the vote and all that, it's BS. Now, it's a first ballot conversation depending on who's in it, right? Some guys are in that conversation when they retire, and it should be a first ballot. I agree, Matthew Stafford's not in that conversation. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. But let's be real, guys. He's going to make the Hall of Fame eventually.
Okay, I was going to stop you right there. I was going like, all right, so we can give props to someone and say they're not a Hall of Famer right now. They might or probably will be a Hall of Famer by the end of their career. I think Stafford has the ability to be a Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. However, he is nowhere close at this moment to the Hall of Fame. Like Sherman said, I agree full-heartedly with him. I mean, Pro Bowls, that's a popularity contest. But the fact that he said he's never been considered the best in any of the years that he's played, I agree with that. Now, you can see the talent. He makes the off-balance throws. He makes the crazy arm angles, the no-look passes, all of that. He has talent. He's always had talent. But he has to win. And he has to win not just on 1 year. He doesn't have to just win on a stacked talent, like star-studded talent roster, right? He needs to be able to lead a Rams team that's good, but not built for a Super Bowl, at least to the playoffs and win some games.
So just remember one thing about Matthew Stafford, okay? This guy had a season. I'm trying to look it up right now so I can actually have the correct stats of what I'm trying to say. He threw for over 5,000 yards in a season. Do you remember that?
I do.
And if it wasn't for the other two guys that threw 5,000 yards in the season and he got overlooked, he probably would have won MVP that year.
But what does that tell you?
But yet no one talks about that year.
Right there.
What?
How many picks you throw that year?
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to look it up. You always got to see this is the thing.
I don't know the answer to this, but I'm pretty sure Sosa does. Has he ever thrown under double-digit picks his entire career? I don't think he has. I think if he has, it was 1 year he threw, like, for nine.
He never has. In both the seasons he did, he got hurt.
Yep.
All right, I got it right here, okay? His first season, 13 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. Here's the one I'm looking for. 2011, okay? 2011. Mm-hmm. They went 10-6. 5,038 passing yards, 41 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
That 16 was picks.
16 picks. Yeah. 16 picks. But other than that, he's a freaking pick machine, man. But
he is. My argument with that, though, is so was Favre. And so was many other quarterbacks.
Favre led the history of it in picks, right? If I got that correct.
Favre had 12 consecutive winning seasons.
This is true, but he also had a much better organization for his entire career. So
this is true.
So you can't just go off a winning record. You can't just go off of picks. But I do think that now that he is in a good organization, he is in with some call him mid. I think he's a good coach. I wouldn't go as saying he's an elite coach, but McVay is a good coach. He's in a good situation. He has a number one wide receiver. That's apparent. You know, one of the best in the league. If he can't consistently at least win and have winning seasons with the Rams, then no, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Don't get mad. I got to throw this out there. But you guys can continue. Joseph Michaels chimes in on Facebook. Mind you, he had 4,967 yards and 217 the following season with touchdowns and picks. Dude is the quarterback version of cotton candy.
What's that mean?
He's soft, bro. That's what he's freaking saying.
He's soft. This man.
He melts easily. Oh.
Matthew Stafford might be one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league, man.
He could take it. Remember that shoulder play?
Yeah, he had a separated shoulder for four minutes and still led a game-winning drive. I mean.
And not only that, bro, the guy, if we're taking away two seasons, one of them he didn't play, and you take away his rookie season, the guy averages over 4,000 yards passing in a season.
Right,
I know what you're going to say. Go for it. Go.
Here's my thing.
Go.
Y'all keep talking about the Hall of Fame. Of course they're getting the Hall of Fame. Why? Because it's stat nerds that are voting for it. There's two ways to look at this. What do you value? Do you value winning or do you value statistics and longevity? Those are the two things that make the difference here. He's been putting up numbers for 13 years. He's got maybe four or five left, and he can write another chapter that will put him in the Hall of Fame. That's what's going to happen. Number one overall pick. No one can deny the talent. No one can deny the arm talent or the ability. But the problem is, It's the people that won that are voting on the actual Hall of Fame. And the invasion of advanced metrics and statistics.
It's hyperinflated right now.
That's the biggest reason. Things that offensively were never thought of to be done are being done regularly now.
Yeah.
So it changes the way that these players are putting up stats and numbers. They just added another game. You don't think that changes the way that stats are tabulated?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, when he threw the 5,000 yards, two other quarterbacks. Now, I mean, this year alone, look how many quarterbacks threw for 4,000 when 4,000 used to be like a very high threshold. Like you threw for 4,000. I'm like, that's great. That's fantastic. Like, I think there's like 12 quarterbacks that ended up the year with 4,000 yards or more. That's it's a hyperinflated stat. Like you said, stats are going to be hyperinflated and it will get him in. See, I'm of the opinion, like, I'll go further. I don't think Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning deserve to be Hall of Fame. So,
hold on, who?
Eli Manning. Both of them will get in, but they don't deserve it, though.
Eli will get in first ballot.
Yep. Yeah, I know he will.
But he doesn't, like, right.
He don't deserve to get in first ballot, though.
But no, that's your opinion. Here's why. Because that's what I'm saying. It's two ways to look at it. If we're talking stats and metrics, Phillip Rivers has to be in.
Yeah, no, I get that.
If we're talking stats and metrics, he's true. Obligatory. And it's the same thing that goes for Eli. If we're talking winning, it's obligatory.
They'll both be first ballot.
They both fit each extreme end of the spectrum for voting.
Yep.
One guy's a 500 record quarterback with two Super Bowls. One guy's 50 games over 500 with none.
Yeah. And no, exactly.
That's what you run into.
But that's what I'm saying.
Metrics are winning. What matters more?
I don't know, man. Again, we're opinionated. It's our opinions. You don't have to like them. You don't have to agree with them. That's just the way we feel, right, Sosa? I mean, that's why we got the mic, bro. We could talk. We could give our opinions, Brody. If you don't like it,
absolutely.
The door's that way. That's all I got to say. I'm not going to hit you on the way out. You know what I mean? The door might, but I'm not. You know what I mean? Just because you don't agree with me, it's all good, though. But my guy, we got about 15 minutes, give or take. No, we got about 10 minutes. I got to let you plug the Diamond Club a little bit. And the reason why I say this is because I'm a casual bettor, you know what I mean? And I say that all the time. I say it on my Twitter, you know what I mean? I'm a casual bettor that does his homework, not a pro handicapper. But this is something that you do, bro. This is something that is revolved around you 24/7. I mean, I can call you at 6 a.m. and you're already working at the game. I can call you right now, which is already super late on your time, and you're still working on the game. I want you to I don't want you to plug the Wise Guys Diamond Club, but talk a little bit more about what it is you do there and what you guys bring to the table for people that are pros or people that are just novices that are trying to get started.
I think the most important thing that we loan to people is the ability to, one, build your confidence while you actually make your own picks in sports games. A lot of people like the education that's required for sports betting and approach it like it's the lottery. That's the biggest mistake that you can make, and that's the easiest way to mess up your bankroll if you're trying to get into sports betting. With what me and my business partners do, we basically, one, educate you and help you to, one, manage your bankroll and to bet responsibly. That actually seems like a joke, right? Like, bet responsibly. Go gamble responsibly, when the only word synonymous with gamble is risk. So it's like, go risk your money responsibly, which kind of actually sounds pretty stupid. But I mean, we try to do that. We try to teeter the line of being aggressive while betting, but also being responsible and understanding how to not overextend yourself. Also, if you're gambling your kids' milk money, you need a role model, and you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're all very good at what we do. We specialize in every sport, every major sport worldwide, not just, you know, American leagues. I mean, you guys have been in spaces with my buddy Andy. We're really locked in. Spin Doc, obviously, he's a numbers genius. And then Rex, who really is the goat at all this, but he's very, very humble, very quiet. people don't really understand like how great at this stuff he really is. Like, he's one of the absolute best, I would say, in the world at this. He's always locked in. Attention to detail is always there, and nothing really ever gets past him. He's a very, very, very sharp mind. I'm grateful to be, like, you know, on a show with him every day, because a lot of people, I think more people, really need to learn about this guy. He's
really humble, bro. That's what I've learned from him, knowing him so far.
Extremely intelligent, bro. Does not get his just due, I promise you. He's one of those guys that, like, I when I found him on the internet, I was like, do I really want to do YouTube with him, or do I want to, like, do I want to, like, save, like, his expertise for, like, off the camera? But I'm really grateful, like, that I linked up with him. It's a great thing about the internet, man. Yeah. You never know who you're gonna meet. So even with you guys, like I said, I'm just glad to, you know, for y'all to extend your platform to me, and I never have an issue, you know, extending mine to yours, to y'all. So I'd love to have you guys on Daily Bread, anything that I'm associated with, because at the end of the day, it's about positivity, and I really do want to see everybody win. Like, that's my main purpose there. I wouldn't be getting in it. Like, there is no ulterior motive. Like, making money is great, but I had that before I started betting on games.
Yeah.
So, definitely. You know, it's great to meet people in the community and to, you know, help people win. That's what I'm about, winning and helping others do the same. That's really my ultimate goal.
And then again, you mentioned it, bro, like, social media, internet, all that, yep, just brings so many people together. Like, I'll tell you right now, I've never met Sosa in person face to face, but you see how we talk, you see how, yep, he talks with Ian, how we all are. We're just, we coexist, we get along. Now, you follow us on Spaces. Spaces is nothing like what you guys are watching right now. Like,
yeah, it gets
seriously
heated.
What you guys
spaces
are watching right now is literally PG at home with your kids TV. Like, yeah, you want something a little more raw, a little more real. I mean, we got guys like Nitro. I'm going to give him a shout. Bro, I got to give Nitro a shout out. That guy is like on a million milligrams of caffeine in a second. Like, all day, bro, he's hyped up. Yeah. I mean, just a bunch of people. Honestly, bro, one thing that I want to give you a shout out for introducing me to the Wise Guys Diamond Club and people like Spin Doc. I love following Spin Doc a lot because this past month in January, if you guys know, I was at home during COVID. You know, I had a lot of time to just watch college basketball, listen, jump on Spaces, do my research. Bro, when it comes to college basketball, I'm not taking anything away from Rex or anybody else. Bro, Spin Doc gets into detail, and I'm sitting there reading like a Bible scripture, like, oh my God, this guy's getting, like, this guy knows what he's talking about. And at the end of the day, I'd rather lose that pick knowing that I had that much information than me just going on my app and going, this team looks good today. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have info and knowing I lost being backed than not having anything. You know what I mean? And if we're going to throw out picks, though, I went 2-1 today. UNLV did come through with that +6. Shout out to Steven as well. If you guys jump on Spaces every single day, college basketball, Spaces with Rex, Spin Doc, and Steven, they post it up every single day. I jump in if I can. These guys always come to me. They call me the Mountain West guy. They always want to hear about, you know, how I feel about certain Mountain West games and UNLV. So I was big on UNLV today, man. I said it. Royce Hamm Jr. needed to step up big and giving them more again. He was the leading scorer at halftime. He stepped up. Bryce Hamilton didn't have to do everything on his own. UNLV played right. They're getting right at the right time. But the last thing I want to chop it up with you real quick, Sosa, the betting game has changed, bro. 100%. I said it earlier. It's not about take the money line. It's not about take the point spread. It's not about take the over and under. You guys are doing things at Wise Guys Diamond Club that is new school now. Like, you got the newer, younger generation of bettors now talking about take so-and-so triple-double, you know, assist, you know, rebounds, this, and that. Real quick, before we end up the show tonight, talk about that a little bit, bro, how the game has changed so much and how you've pivoted and adapted to the new wave. You're muted again, bro. You're muted again. Come on.
My fault.
It's all good.
Prop markets are a huge deal, man. Right down to scoring goals, right down to cricket runs or wickets in cricket. You can, and also, especially with now with props, live betting is even more attractive as an option, because, you know, there are players who come out of the blue and just randomly have good games in the NBA. But prop markets are huge, man. It's just more studying of averages and matchups, you know. Obviously, basketball is a little more fluid because there's 82 games, so you have a larger sample to go off of. And then, obviously, things always get back to the mean. But with the NFL, that's like – predicting props with the NFL, that's a gift. No lie. You got to be good with that, man, because you can go metrics and numbers, but I mean, there's so many variables, bro, right down to grass. Like, are they playing on grass? Or are they playing on turf? Is the game indoor? Is the game outdoor? You'd be surprised what a 3-mile win running into will change as far as a running back being able to pick up 50 yards in a game, you know? So it's just another attractive way for Vegas to take your money and for you to bet irresponsibly if you don't know what you're doing. That's the honest truth.
So we're done, man. We're at the end of the show. Time flies when you're having fun. So I'm going to let you do your thing, my guy. I'm going to let you plug away, even though we've already plugged it like crazy. Give all the social media handles. Give everything that people need to know about so they can follow you and let everyone know what's up.
Follow TWGD Club. It's the Wise Guys Diamond Club. Four handicappers, four elite handicappers. We got the best information, analysis, and advice for you as you start your sports wagering journey. Sosa Locksmith down there. You'll see my Twitter handle. It's the same on Instagram. I don't really use Instagram like that. But other than that, just follow those two, man. I appreciate you and Ian. I'm learning more about Vegas all the time. And it's good to have feet on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Y'all have some inside information for me by the end of the season of one of these sports. I'm just waiting.
For sure. I got you, bro. Definitely, man. I'll be sending you that text later, that inside info right there for sure. Definitely.
Bet.
Hey, my guy, but I appreciate you, man. I see the eyes. I know you're tired. I know you're sleepy. I know it's bedtime. I get it. Definitely.
You know, hey. I'm not really as tired as I look, I promise.
My guy, I greatly appreciate you, Sosa. You already know what's up, man. You got the text message earlier from me. I appreciate you, my guy. Have a great night. I'll definitely be chopping it up with you in a few hours here on Spaces. Appreciate you, my guy. Have a good one.
Peace.
Good stuff, man. Always fun when we have people that know what they're talking about. Especially, we got to throw more betting aspects into the show. Straight Bet Sports is the name of the show. We talk betting. We throw it out there all the time. Again, you guys follow me. I went 2-1 today. Not bad. I had George Mason. They came back. Overtime. -3. They ended up winning by 5. I had Duquesne's. They got murdered. Wasn't a great pick there. But, hey, you know, you don't win them all. UNLV +6. I'm happy for that one. Being someone that covers UNLV out here. And obviously, we follow them. Yep. Hometown team. They're not my team. You already see what it is. I got it right here. I'm an SC fan. But it's always good to see the hometown team win, especially where you're at. UNLV's looking good right now, man. If you guys have not followed them and checked them out, check him out. Not only that, big shout out. Big shout out to Lindy LaRock in the UNLV Lady Rebels getting their 21st win of the season, which is a program record. UNLV Lady That's Women's huge. Have never won 21 games. That is huge.
Huge.
She is bringing this team and putting them on the map.
They've only lost four
21
games,
21
right?
and 4 on the season, but yet no one's talking about them because they're in the Mountain West and they're quiet. Watch out for this team when they make the tournament. Lindy knows what she is doing. Again, big shout out Lindy LaRock, friend of the show. She's been on the show before. And Lady Rebels, keep doing your thing. Good luck for Las Vegas. Ian, final words before we get out of here.
Just follow me on ENB_sports. Follow our show. Make sure you like and subscribe. Also, hey, I've been wildly successful this NFL season on props. So make sure next season you're following me because as you heard it from Sosa, people that are good on props, it's a gift.
There we go, man. Definitely. Jose V, ENB, Quan59, we greatly appreciate each and every one of you being a part of the show tonight, whether it was on social media or our guest, Sosa the Locksmith, or even Quan, which without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every single Wednesday night. For our sponsors, Joshua LaFon and Eric Navarro, we greatly appreciate you guys. But come to an end. Show's back next week, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. For Jose V, ENB, Quan59, we are out.
Peace.